Welcome to Zichru Daf Sim. My name is Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin, the eighth parak, Yesh Nochlin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a braisa that if one says, Nachasai l'cha v'acharecha l'ploni, my properties are yours, and after you die, they go to Ploni. And the first recipient sold the property. Rebbe says, Hasheni motzim yad halukuchos, the second recipient can take the properties from the buyers because the sale is void. Rav Shem Gamliel says, Ein l'sheni el ma sheshiya rishon. The second recipient has nothing but what the first recipient left for him. The sale is valid and nothing is left for the second person. According to Rabbi Yochanan, these Tanaim argue about whether or not Kinyan Peros is equal to Kinyan Aguf, which would enable the first recipient to sell the property. According to Reish Lakish, both Tanaim agree with him that Kinyan Peros is not Kinyan Aguf. Rav Shimon holds Acharech Shani. The case of after you is different because it implies that he completely gives the property itself to the first recipient and after him to the second. A contradictory statement from Rishim proves that he agrees the first recipient is not permitted to sell the property, although the sale is effective. Abai says the term Rasha Arum, a cunning wicked person, refers to one who advises the first recipient to sell the property. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that the first recipient's sale is valid in the case of Acharecha Laponi. But Rabbi Shimon agrees that if he gave it away as a matna shchimera, a gift of a gravely ill person, it's not effective. Abai explained, matna shchimera lokana el achar misa. A shchimera's gift only takes effect after his death, ukvar kadmu acharecha, and by then, the after you second recipient already preceded him by acquiring it when the first recipient died. The Gemara objects that Abai contradicts himself because in a discussion about when a matna shchimera takes effect, Abai says im gemar misa with the conclusion of his death, meaning when he dies, and Rava says after he dies. The Gemara answers that Abai retracted his opinion and agreed with Rava. This can be proven from a Mishnah which teaches that when a get is made dependent on the husband's death, it's invalid since it cannot take effect until after he dies. And point number three, Rava says that if one says this esrog is given to you as a gift, on condition that you return it to me, and the recipient performed the mitzvah with it, then if he returned it, he fulfills his mitzvah. This is because matana manas lachzir shma matana. A gift given on condition to be returned is considered a gift, and it is his esrog. Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying that if one gave another a shor on condition that he returns it, and the recipient was makdishit and then returned it, it's both consecrated and returned. Its being made hektish does not retract from his returning it. Rava asked Rav Nachman, my Adre, but what did he return to him? He cannot use it. Rav Nachman replied, my Chasrei, well, what is removed from him? The ox was physically returned. The Gemara concludes that if he said, on condition that you return it, this returning is sufficient. But if he said, on condition you return it to me, meaning the Chazilei Kamrei, he was telling him to return something useful to him. So once again, the three points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa that if one says, Nachasai l'cha, l'acharecha l'ploni, my properties are yours, and after you die, they go to Ploni. And the first recipient sold the property. Rebbe says, Hasheni motzim yad halukuchos, the second recipient can take the properties from the buyers because the sale is void. Rav Shem Gamliel says, Ein l'sheni el ma sheshiya rishon, the second recipient has nothing but what the first recipient left for him. The sale is valid, and nothing is left for the second person. According to Rabbi Yochanan, these Tanaim argue about whether or not Kinyan Peros is equal to Kinyan Aguf, which would enable the first recipient to sell the property. According to Reish Lakish, both Tanaim agree with him that Kinyan Peros is not Kinyan Aguf. Rav Shimon holds Acharech Shani. The case of after you is different because it implies that he completely gives the property itself to the first recipient and after him to the second. A contradictory statement from Rishim proves that he agrees the first recipient is not permitted to sell the property, although the sale is effective. Abai says the term Rasha Arum, a cunning wicked person, refers to one who advises the first recipient to sell the property. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that the first recipient's sale is valid in the case of Acharecha Laponi. But Rabbi Shimon agrees that if he gave it away as a matna shchimera, a gift of a gravely ill person, it's not effective. Abai explained, matna shchimera lokana el achar misa. A shchimera's gift only takes effect after his death, ukvar kadmu acharecha, and by then, the after you second recipient already preceded him by acquiring it when the first recipient died. The Gemara objects that Abai contradicts himself because in a discussion about when a matna shchimera takes effect, Abai says im gemar misa with the conclusion of his death, meaning when he dies, and Rava says after he dies. The Gemara answers that Abai retracted his opinion and agreed with Rava. This can be proven from a Mishnah which teaches that when a get is made dependent on the husband's death, it's invalid since it cannot take effect until after he dies. And point number three, Rava says that if one says this esrog is given to you as a gift, Almanasha takzirehui, on condition that you return it to me, and the recipient performed the mitzvah with it, then if he returned it, he fulfills his mitzvah. This is because matana manatz lachzir shma matana, a gift given on condition to be returned is considered a gift, and it is his esrog. Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying that if one gave another a shor on condition that he returns it, and the recipient was makdish it and then returned it, arzimukdish amuchzer, it's both consecrated and returned. Its being made hektish does not retract from his returning it. Rava asked Rav Nachman, my Adre, but what did he return to him? He cannot use it. Rav Nachman replied, my Chasrei, well, what is removed from him? The ox was physically returned. The Gemara concludes that if he said, on condition that you return it, this returning is sufficient, but if he said, on condition you return it to me, mitid dechazilei kamrei, he was telling him to return something useful to him. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin, and our standard Siman is a closet. A closet. So here goes. The cunning Russia who hid in a closet after advising the man who received the land with instructions, Acharecha Laploni, to sell, and didn't realize he would try to give it away with a matna shchimera, which doesn't work, had a good laugh when he overheard a person being given a cow, a manas laksir, be makdishet. So once again, it's a motion. The cunning Russia who hid in a closet. Closet? That must be on Duff. Kuf Lamed Zayin. The cunning Russia who hid in a closet after advising the man who received the land with instructions, Acharecha Laploni, to sell, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that if one says, Nachasai Lacha V'Acharecha Laploni, my properties are yours, and after you die, they go to Ploni, and the first recipient sold the property. Rebbe says the second recipient can take the properties from the buyers because the sale is void. Mishum Gamliel says, Ein L'Sheni Elamah Sheshia Rishon, the second recipient has nothing but what the first recipient left for him. The sale is valid and nothing is left for the second person. According to Rabbi Yochanan, these Tanaim argue about whether or not Kinyan Peros is equal to Kinyan Aguf, which would enable the first recipient to sell the property. Reish Lakish disagrees. So the cunning Russia who hid in the closet after advising the man who received land with instructions, Acharecha Laploni, to sell, and didn't realize he would try to give it away with a matna shchimira, which doesn't work, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan says, Halacha follows from Shimon Gamliel that the first recipient's sale is valid in the case of Acharecha Laploni. But Rabbi Shimon agrees that if he gave it away as a matna shchimira, a gift of a gravely ill person, it's not effective. Abai explained, matna shchimira lo kana el lachar misa. A shchimira's gift only takes effect after his death, and by then the after you were second recipient already preceded him by acquiring it when the first recipient died. So the cunning Russia who hid in the closet after advising the man who received the land with instructions, Acharecha Laploni, to sell, and didn't realize he would try to give it away with a matna shchimira, which doesn't work, had a good laugh when he overheard a person being given a cow, almanas laksir, be makdishet, which reminds us, Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying that if one gave another a shor, on condition that he returns it, and the recipient was makdishet and then returned it, it's both consecrated and returned. It's being made hektish does not detract from his returning it. Rava asked Rav Nachman, but what did he return to him? He can't use it. Rav Nachman replied, but what is he removed from him? The ox was physically returned. The Gemara concludes that if he said, on condition that you return it, this returning is sufficient. But if he said, on condition that you return it to me, he was telling him to return something useful to him. So once again, the cunning Russia who hid in a closet after advising the man who received the land with instructions, Acharecha Laploni, to sell, and didn't realize he would try to give it away with a matna shchimira, which doesn't work, had a good laugh when he overheard a person being given a cow, amanaz laksir, be makdishet. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf kuf lamed gimel. So the simmer daf kuf lamed gimel is a clog. So here goes. When the shchimira gave away his entire estate, including his diamond studded clogs? That must be on daf kuf lamed gimel. When the Shchimera gave away his entire estate, including his diamond-studded clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, which reminds us, Ravuna said that if a Shchimera wrote all his property to someone, but did not specify if it was given as a Yerusha or a gift, we examine the recipient's relation to him. If the recipient is fit to inherit him as an heir, notum mishum Yerusha, he takes the properties as a Yerusha. Vimlav notum mishum Matana, if not, he takes him as a gift. Ravuna holds like Rabbi Yochanan and Broka that one can redistribute his inheritance, and the benefactor presumably means to use whichever method is effective. So when the Shchimeirah gave away his entire estate, including his diamond set of clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, disinheriting his son who is not Noeg Keshura, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Akosiv es nechosiv la'acherim, if one writes away his possessions to others, v'niach es banav, and leaves his children with nothing, Masha'asa asui, what he has done is done, el'ein ruach chachamim noeg chachmenu, but the sages are not pleased with him since he undermined the Torah's law of inheritance. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, im lo hayu banav noegim keshura, if his sons were not acting properly, zachu l'tov, he's remembered for good, meaning his action was honorable. So, when the Shchimeirah gave away his entire estate, including his diamond set of clogs, to a non-relative, without specifying if it was a gift or an inheritance, disinheriting his son who was not no Keshura, his son learned his lesson, and when he found a different pair of diamond set of clogs inside a fish, he sold them to Hekdesh at a great price, which reminds us the Gemara brings the mice of Yossi ben Yoezer, who disinherited his son, who ended up selling a jewel he found to Hekdesh for less than its value. Kuf Lamed Daled, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Lamed Daled is a cloud. So here goes. The birds flying under the cloud. Cloud? That must be more Daf Kuf Lamed Daled. The birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage learning, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa that Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. 30 of them were Ruim Shetisha Alehem Shechina K'Moshe Rabbeinu, fit that the Shechina should rest on them as it did on Moshe Rabbeinu. 30 of them were Ruim Shetamud Alehem Chama K'Yeshua Ben Nun, fit for the sun to stand for them as it did for Yeshua Ben Nun. And there were 20 between these groups. The greatest of them all was Yonos and Buziel, and the least of them was Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. They said Rabbi Yonos and Buziel, B'shah Sheyoshev Osek B'Torah, at the time he was sitting and studying Torah, Ko'ov Shaporeach Olav Nisraf, any bird flying over him was burned. So the birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage, a learning, dropped from the sky and landed on the head of a man who was not believed when he said that he divorced his wife in the past. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef added, Baal Sha'amar Geirashti as Ishti Ne'aman. A husband who says, I divorce my wife, is believed since he can divorce her at any time. Based on a contradiction of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, the Gemara concludes that the husband is not believed l'mafreya when he claims to have divorced her in the past, which is not currently in his power, and he is believed l'haba regarding the future, meaning he claims he divorced her now. So the birds flying under the cloud and getting burned as they flew over a great sage, learning, dropped from the sky and landed on the head of a man who was not believed when he said he divorced his wife in the past, as others question whether pagin dibura and he should be believed regarding the future, which reminds us, having established that the man is believed to say he just divorced his wife, but not to say he divorced her in the past, the Gemara asks, Amar l'mafreya, if he said he divorced her in the past, what's the halacha about believing him only regarding the future? Mipal ginin dibur, do we divide his statement and accept the fact of the divorce, but not the date? Or is his statement not accepted at all, since it cannot be fully accepted? The Gemara will distinguish between dividing testimony when it comes to two people, such as in the case of an adulterer and the witness's wife, versus dividing the testimony when it comes to one person, such as the divorce of his wife. Daf Kuf Lamed Hei, so the simon for Daf Kuf Lamed Hei is Kola. So here goes. When the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers, spilled her Kola, Kola, that must be more in Daf Kuf Lamed Hei. When the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her cola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a case where a man who was presumed not to have brothers claimed the same when he was dying. Rav Yosef declared there was no concern that his wife was subject to Yibum, but Abai objected that people were saying that there were Edim in Medina Sayyam who know that this man has brothers. Rav Yosef replied with a quote of Rabbi Hanin about a captive woman's status regarding Kohanim. Edei batzad estam v'tiaser, there are supposedly witnesses in the north who are not present to testify and she should be forbidden? We're not concerned about possible witnesses who are absent. Abai responded that there is a difference between a shvuya and a married woman. So when the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers spilled her kola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, it splashed onto a man telling his brothers dividing their inheritance that the man standing behind him was their brother, which reminds the Gemara teaches that if one says, Ze achi, this is my brother, the other brothers are not required to share the estate with him. So when the woman whose dying husband said he had no brothers, spilled her kola after hearing there were witnesses overseas that said he had, it splashed onto a man telling his brothers dividing their inheritance that the man standing beside him was their brother. As the brothers discussed what they should do when their father instructed them, write and give my soda machine to Plony, and then died before it was done, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if someone dies in a daitake, a dying man's will was attached to his thigh. Its instructions are not followed, since he may have only intended to give the gift with the shtar, which can no longer be given. Rav Shivzi quoted Rav Elazar saying that if a shchimeira said, write and give a mana to pony, and he died before it was done, we do not carry out his instructions. Shema will gamar haknoso el b'shtar, for perhaps he only decided to give it to him through the shtar, ve'ein shtar, l'achar misa, and the shtar is not effective after his death. Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. So the simur Daf Kuf Lamed Vav is a clue. So here goes. The basin he used the date and the shtar is a clue. Clue? That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. The basin he used the date and the shtar is a clue to determine when it took effect. Mahayom l'achar misa, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one writes his properties to his son, but wants to retain the produce during his lifetime, Rabbi Yehuda says, Sarach shenyichtov mahayom l'achar misa, he must write that the gift should take effect from today and after death. The Gemara explains that this indicates that the gufa, the principal, the land itself, is acquired by his son immediately, and the pera, the produce, is acquired only after he dies. Rav Yossi argues and says he does not have to write mehayom. Rav Yossi holds zmano shel shtar mochiach lav. The shtar's date proves when it should take effect. There is no purpose in writing a date in the shtar unless he wants it to take effect from that time. So the basin he used the date and the shtar as a clue to determine when it took effect, mehayom l'achar misa, tried to notify the father that even though his son sold the field, he would still get the whole field upon the untimely death of the son, because kinyan aperos is kinyan aguf, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that where a father gifted his son property from today and after death, such that the son owns the guf and the father retains the peros, that neither can unilaterally sell the land now because of the rights of the other. If the father sells it, the buyer enjoys his rights of the produce until the father dies. If the son sells it, the buyer has nothing until the father dies, when the son would inherit the land. Amoraim discussed the law if the son sold the property and died before the father. So the basin he used the Danish star as a clue to determine when it took effect, mehayom l'achar misa, tried to notify the father that even though his son sold the field, he would still get the whole field upon the untimely death of the son, because kinyan haperos is kinyan aguf. But the father was already on his way to bring his bikurim and recite the bikurim psukim, which reminds us, the Gemara asks if Yochanan and Reish Lakish already argued elsewhere about kinyan peros. If one sells his field for right to its produce, Rabbi Yochanan says, maybe vikore, the buyer brings bikurim and recites the bikurim psukim because his kinyan peros is sufficient to consider him the property's owner. Reish Lakish says he brings bikurim but does not recite the psukim because his kinyan peros is insufficient to consider him the owner. The Gemara explains that both arguments were necessary. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff of a case of a wife relinquishing her ksubas shibud where the husband wrote his properties to his sons? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. Good. Number two, which stuff of a case of matana manas lachzir where the recipient was makdish the gift and then returned it? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number three, which stuff of a case that if one man says ze achi, the other brothers are not required to share the estate with him? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. Good. Number four, which type of a case where the son who owns the land's peros tries to sell the land and the topic of kinyan peros kinyan aguf? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Good. Number five, which type of thing when a ksubas bin nechrin operates based on a tanai basin and not normal requirements? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number six, which type of a case of one who wrote all his property to someone without specifying if it's a Yerusha or Matana? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number seven, which stuff of a question the first recipient can sell the property in the case of Nechasai L'chav Acharecho L'Ploni? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number eight, which stuff did we learn about the 80 Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken and that birds got burned when they flew over his greatest Talmud from Yonas and Menuziel? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. Good. Number nine, which stuff did we learn a Matna Shchimeira takes effect after death, not at the time of death? That's on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Good. And number 10, which daf do the melchokas of kinyan peros kinyan aguf and its application to the question of whether one recites the psukim of bikurim? That's on daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.